Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's one common thread, it might be that men perceive church as too feminine.
We have to be aggressive in the world when it's appropriate. We are warriors.
1, 2, 3. Warriors!
You are a real man when you commit to study God's word and you commit to being conformed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the biblical perspective on being a man.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, it is Witness Wednesday at Georgia Tech. Okay, I'm going to ask this kid something. We'll see if I'm just dopey. Young man, I got a question for you on the radio. All right. Where are you from?
Georgia Tech?
Yeah, I know, but...
Marietta.
Okay, your nationality. You look like you're Chinese, Korean. Okay, so you're Taiwanese. Now, there are about four or five guys who look like they were from the East, and you're all smoking cigarettes. And I couldn't help but observe, the only ones smoking cigarettes seem to be people who are somewhere from the Far East.
Yeah.
Is my observation just kind of off the chart?
No. I mean, I'm sure there's been observation made all around the world that says that Middle Eastern people are tend to smoke more than like Western people.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, if you know the body exhibition, you know how those bodies are Asian people, and all you see their lungs are all black. So,
that's kind of goofy.
Yeah. Well,
okay, so you're from Marietta. You are not yourself from Taiwan. Your parents Taiwanese?
Yeah, my parents are Taiwanese.
Okay, what religion are you?
Christianity. Well, kind of atheist, actually, to be honest. My mom is Christian.
I see.
But
and they're not here, so you're kind of atheist.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I just...
So you can smoke cigarettes?
No, I mean, if you're Christian, you can still smoke cigarettes. I don't think it's such a big deal, but...
All right, so why... Let me guess. You kind of grew up going to church as a kid, but then you went away to school, and things kind of changed.
Well...
The scientific stuff kind of convinced you.
Well, yeah, and also because just the influence of my friends, to be honest. Like... It's not really that I'm truly an atheist, just so much that I don't really, like, you know, bother with it. Like, I don't think that much into it. Mm-hmm. Like, if he really exists, then just, like, I feel like I'm not going to go to hell if I don't believe in him. So, I don't know.
Really? Because you think you're a good person?
Yeah, I think I'm a good person.
By what standard?
Well,
what if the standard, my young smoking friend, is the Ten Commandments? Do you think that you would be going to hell then?
No, I don't think I'll be going to hell.
Okay. How come? Have you kept the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, so
far. Have you ever told a lie?
I guess I have, but to be honest, like, I think just, I don't know, I just think that, you know, everyone can lie. I mean, it's something that everyone does. Like,
that's true, but
not everyone.
That's still irrelevant.
Yeah.
Well, right? If a criminal said, but judge, everybody else, fill in the blank, the judge would say, don't care, you're standing before
then
me.
Yeah, everyone's going to hell, so I guess I'll join the party then. So,
yeah. Well, if it is a party... But if you break the laws, then wouldn't that make you a guilty criminal? Like stealing or lusting or not honoring your parents or blaspheming God's name?
Yeah, I guess.
Right. So everybody would be going to hell. But that doesn't concern you.
Well, that's not how I choose to believe in God. That's actually kind of the reason why I don't believe in the Christianity that people believe in. Like, they believe in strict, you have to follow 10 Amendments or you go to hell. I think it's more, like, loosely based.
But that's not what Christianity teaches.
Is it not? I mean, I'm not a Christianity. So.
But you should know what it is before you reject it.
Yeah,
Christianity does teach that if you break the laws, you do deserve hell. But that seems reasonable, doesn't it?
I feel like lying in some part, like, is not... I feel there's certain degrees. There's certain degrees of lies, you know, that people tell.
That's an interesting perspective, but a more important question is not how do I perceive my lie-telling? The question is how does God perceive lying? That's a much more important question. Let me share an analogy with you. Follow along with this, okay? I have kids. If I lie, let's say, to my son, what's going to happen to me, his daddy?
That's depends on what kind of lie you say.
Whatever it is. You pick the worst lie you can imagine. What's going to happen to me? Absolutely nothing. Because he's an 11-year-old kid and he has no power.
Yeah, well, it's all based on morals. So.
All right, but nothing's going to happen to me is the point, right? Now, if I lie to my wife, what do you suspect might happen to me?
She might get a little mad.
And I might be sleeping on the couch.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's say I lie to my boss. I could be fired.
Yep.
Okay, now something's happening here. Do you see the progression?
Yeah.
Now, let's say I lie to the government. There's a name for that. It's called treason.
Mm-hmm.
I could be put in jail. Now, here's the situation. Follow along.
Okay.
I have committed the same crime 4 times, but each time the punishment increased. My crime was the same. The punishment was different. Why? What changed in the scenario?
I guess authority?
That's right. The one against whom I committed the crime.
Yeah.
If I commit a crime against a kid, like lying, it's no big deal. But the government is big and it's powerful, and it's a big deal.
Yep.
If you lie, and it is a sin against God himself, who's above governments, who controls the universe, all of a sudden we start to realize why the Bible would teach all liars will have their part in a lake of fire. Because your crime, young man, isn't just against the person you lie, it's primarily against the creator of the universe. And because he is so big and so holy and so esteemed, your crime is worthy of infinite punishment because it was committed against an infinitely holy God.
But I'm not lying to God.
Sure you are.
So when... All right.
It's not like you're telling him the lie, but it's one of his laws. Okay, like when you speed, the judge who gives you the ticket, you didn't commit speeding against him. He's the enforcer of the law.
Okay.
God is the enforcer of the laws. So all when you tell a lie, you've broken one of his laws.
Well, I guess... Yeah,
right.
You're right.
So now you can understand why hell at least would be reasonable. It's not that our crimes are so amazingly stupendous. Like, you probably never murdered anybody.
Yeah.
But you have been angry at somebody and you've called people names or you flipped them off.
Yeah.
Right? So you've been angry inside of your heart and inside of your head. And God sees what's going on there. And that's a violation of his principles. And because it is against his laws, against his character, and because his character is so big and holy, the punishment is worthy of eternal punishment.
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly the reason why I'm kind of atheist, because I feel like Christianity is, it based so strictly on rules. I think this is my personal view. Obviously, if you're a hard Christian, you wouldn't agree with me. I just feel like he wouldn't make us just to put rules like this on us.
Well,
I feel like Christianity is based upon restricting yourself from what your biology, you know, like, you know, we like to have sex, you know, and stuff like that. Like, if we smoke, yeah, we smoke, we like it. I feel like Christianity is based upon a rule just to, like, restrict all that.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. You went to church as a kid, right?
Yeah.
In as succinct a sentence as you can create, what is the good news of Christianity?
The good news of Christianity, it gives people hope. You know?
Why?
Because they feel like just something greater to life.
You know? Nope.
That's what I got.
Specifically, why would you as a Christian have hope? There's got to be a reason, otherwise it's a placebo.
I guess so that I have set of morals, like people won't... I don't know the answer.
What is Easter?
I don't know.
Dude, this is why your understanding of Christianity is skewed. You've just heard the rules. You've just heard the laws, which are there. You've just heard about hell, which is there. And sinners go there. But God is rich in mercy, and he wants to save sinners. It is his desire to save a guy like you. But there's a little problem here. You're a guilty criminal, and God is good, and he'd like to demonstrate mercy on you. But if a judge let a guilty criminal go because he's just being a nice guy, is that a just judge who lets bad criminals go? No, that's a bad judge who lets guilty people go. But if somebody would step into the courtroom and pay the fine or take the penalty for the guilty criminal, then the judge could say, I can set you free because justice has been satisfied. Your fine has been paid. So your situation is you're guilty before God, the judge, but somebody has paid your fine for you. Who paid your fine so that you don't have to go to hell?
Yes, if you're a Christian, I guess Jesus did.
That's right. That's the good news of Christianity.
Okay.
God is angry at sinners. There's no question about it. But God delights in saving sinners. And in order to do that, he sent his son to take the punishment you deserved.
Yeah, I guess.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's shocking good news. I mean, that's as if Jesus lived your life and was punished for it. And you get to exist as if you lived his life. It's the great exchange where you can have your sins forgiven.
Yeah. All right, well...
Okay. You can go, but dude...
Yeah.
That's the rest of the story. And before you render a verdict on Christianity, you should know that. That's the good news. And your decision about it should be made on understanding it fully, that God wants to save a sinner like you. He sent his son Jesus to die for you, and now you must repent and put your trust in him. And God promises if you will do that, all of your sins, your wrongdoings will have been paid for by Jesus. You will be set free. You will be adopted as his child, and you will go to heaven based on the good work of Jesus. That's the good news of the gospel. So as you scoot off and relight that heater that seems to have gone out, dude, ask the question, is what this stranger said to you true? That's the big question as you walk away.
I mean, the stuff you're saying is based on Christianity.
But is it true? Because if it's true and you die, you're going to hell. But if it's true, you could also be forgiven and rescued from your situation because of the goodness of Jesus. So that is either true or false. So make that determination what it is, okay?
Okay.
Think about it today.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
All right.
All right. You're a gentleman. Thanks for the time. Uh-huh. Appreciate it. Goodbye. Okay. See ya. How many kids do you suppose like that go to church? Well, at least he heard about the laws and hell. That's pretty good. But he never heard the gospel? This is a reminder to all of us. Do not assume. Pastor, don't assume it with your flock. Sunday school teacher, don't assume it with the kids. And mom and dad, don't assume it with your very own children. We are at Georgia Tech. It's a Witness Wednesday. This is Wretched Radio.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. Do you want to do more evangelism, but you don't know quite where to start? College campuses across America are going to be the front lines of gospel outreach, and you can be a part of it. You're in Play the Man. It's Todd Friel's short biblical resource that helps young men fight pornography God's way. This is soul-saving truth that's been working for, 2,000 years? You can order free cards right now. Yes, I said free at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. This fall, your campus becomes your mission field. The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis in a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, available right now for free at FortisPlus.org. That's FortisPlus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. But what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. Cyprian was a 3rd century theologian from Carthage, North Africa, where he served as bishop until he was beheaded under Emperor Valerian. Cyprian authored a book called On the Unity of the Church, stressing the unity of the universal church as well as the importance and authority of the local church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday. I am at Georgia Tech. Hey, why are you staring at me?
I'm looking at that, actually.
It's a radio device. Will you talk to me on the radio for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
Where are you from, young man?
I'm from here, Georgia.
You're from Georgia?
Yeah.
Very cool. The Bible Belt.
The what?
This is the Bible Belt. You've never heard that term?
Oh, no. I don't know what that is.
The Bible Belt in America, this is like the most Christian part of the country, is the South. So yeah. They call it the Bible Belt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You've never heard that term?
No, I never heard the term.
Are you a Bible Belter? Are you a Bible guy?
I'm a Christian.
You're a Christian?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to ask you a favor then, my Christian friend.
Okay.
Tell me why I should become a Christian.
Why you should become a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the right thing to do. The Bible says so.
Okay. But why should I? What's in it for me?
What's in it for
what
you?
What do I get out of this deal? Because right now, let's say I'm a Muslim and I'm very content.
Okay.
Is the Bible still the right thing?
Yeah.
Are you saying the Quran is wrong?
I'm saying it's not the Bible.
Are you saying it's wrong?
It's wrong.
I don't have a machete on me. You can tell me.
Wrong. Like, there might be some... It might tell you to do some things that are good, but it's not...
It teaches that Jesus is just a prophet and he didn't die on a cross for your sins. Is it wrong? Okay. So why should I become a Christian again?
Why you should become a Christian?
Yes. Because you were going to tell me why.
Oh, yeah, because you want to follow the teachings and go to heaven, you know?
Why?
Why?
Yes.
Oh, because you don't want to go to hell. I mean, that'd be kind of weird, you know?
Why would I go there? I'm a good guy.
Oh, well, you're still not following what the Bible says, though.
What does the Bible say?
You have to worship God.
I do in my own way.
In your own way. I don't know if that's going to cut it, you know?
Why not? Are you one of those judgmental people?
No, actually, I'm very open.
Is God judgmental?
Very.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is God okay with people being Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims?
Is he okay with it?
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, worshiping a God that isn't God, I don't think he's okay with that.
So anybody who's worshiping the wrong God, what happens to them when they die?
Oh, I mean, you're asking somebody who's not... I know you go to hell.
You go to hell?
I mean, you're not going to go to heaven.
All right.
Yeah.
How come? Yeah. Where are you going when you die?
Where am I going?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't say for sure where I'm going.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought Christians could.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I can't predict it. Well, right now, at this very moment, if I die...
This car somehow gets picked up. It kicks into gear, runs you over. You're splat dead. Where are you going?
I mean, I hope I go to heaven.
But you don't know for sure.
No.
What kind of a Christian are you?
What kind of a Christian am I?
What stripe? What flavor?
Flavor?
Yeah. Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, Mormon. Did I just say that? What are you?
I'm a Baptist.
You're a Baptist.
Yeah.
So don't Baptists believe that they are going to heaven for sure when they die?
Yeah, but I'm slowly getting there, you know? Yeah.
So what does that mean, slowly getting there?
It's a work, and it takes time for me.
I don't understand that. What do you mean you're slowly getting there?
My family wasn't religious that much, but I'm trying to, you know.
Figure it out.
Figure what out?
Being Baptist.
I'm not trying to figure it out. I'm trying to, you know, I'm slowly, like, fully coming into myself about the Bible. About following his teachings.
If I asked all of your friends to get together, and I asked your friends and your family what the most important thing is in your life, what would they say?
In my life?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my family?
Okay.
Yeah.
They wouldn't say Jesus.
No, they would probably say my family.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, if Jesus isn't first in your life, it would be safe to say that you still are not following him. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so how does somebody become a Christian?
How do you become one?
Yeah.
You have to follow the teachings of God.
All right.
You have to worship him. And you have to...
The Ten Commandments. How many of the Ten Commandments do you think you've kept?
Do I think I've kept?
Yeah.
I can't say for certain.
How many lies have you told in your life?
In my life?
Mm-hmm.
Can't keep track.
Okay. How many things have you stolen in your life?
Stole?
Yeah.
Stole when I was younger.
All right. Well, it doesn't matter when it happened.
Yeah.
So you've stolen something.
Uh-huh.
And that dishonored your parents, so you have broken the commandment of honoring your father and mother, correct?
Yeah.
All right. How many times have you taken God's name in vain? You know what that means, to use God's name in a low sort of way? To use it as a curse word? OMG.
I don't think I do that.
All right. Have you ever done that? Use the name of Jesus in kind of a loose way? All right. Let you figure that out. Okay. How many times do you think that you have lusted after a woman today?
Today?
Yep.
I don't think I have.
Today?
Yeah.
But it's early. All right. But you've done that, correct?
Before? Yes.
Ever?
Yeah. Right.
Okay, because Jesus said you don't have to commit the physical act of adultery.
Yeah, I know.
You just think, and God's got you tagged because he sees your heart. Yeah. Same thing with anger. He sees you as a murderer at heart because it's not just what we do, it's what we think.
Are you a Christian?
Yes, sir. I am.
All right.
But this might help you figure something out, all mm-hmm. right? So let's say today is the day that you die. And the books are opened on your life. And God knows how many times you've taken his name in vain and how many times you've lied and lusted and you've coveted things that didn't belong to you. He knows it all.
Yeah.
Would God see you as being innocent or guilty?
Oh, I would be guilty.
All right. So you're a guilty man. What should God do with a guilty person like you? Send you to heaven? Send you to hell?
Well, guilty people don't go to heaven, so I guess
that's right.
Not going.
So you'd go to hell?
Yeah.
All right. So we've resolved something today.
Oh, well, assuming I didn't pray this morning and tell God to forgive me for all my sins. And
okay. All right. So what are you saying?
Oh, I'm still going to hell. I didn't do that this morning.
Okay. Let me give you some good news.
Yeah.
All right. Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God.
Uh-huh.
You've got to be born again. And you might be, but you're just confused about some things. Okay. Being born again means when you get to that point in your life when you realize, I am not a good person, I'm a bad man, and I've sinned against the only true God, and I'm sorry, and I'm going to turn from my sins and put my trust in Jesus. This is crucial, because Jesus is the one that allows you to be forgiven, because he's the one who took the punishment that you deserve. That's what Jesus was doing on this earth, keeping all the laws that you've broken, taking the punishment that you deserve, God punishing his own son on your behalf. So all of your bad sins were put on Jesus, and all the goodness and the punishment that he took can be credited to your account. So you can be forgiven completely, all of your sins, past, present, and future. And you don't need to repent every 5 minutes to be forgiven again and again. You need to call out to God for mercy, turn from your sins, put your trust in his son, and he promises, if you will come to him, he will not cast you out. He will forgive all of your sins and grant you everlasting life. And then you'll wake up in the morning saying, thank you for forgiving me another day. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. I'm sorry for the bad things that I do. I have been a disobedient child, but I'm still your child. Thank you for adopting me into your family. And then you go about your day glorifying God. You live your life with him in the center of it. So the question is, have you been born again? Did you get to that point in your life where you called out to God, turn from your sins and put your trust in his son for the complete forgiveness of sins?
No, I haven't gotten there yet. Like I said, I'm slowly getting there.
Okay.
You know, eventually I'll be.
All right, let me encourage you to hurry it up. Okay?
Yeah.
Because having some form of religion, just saying some prayers in the morning, it's not what God is looking for. He's not looking for a hat tip first thing in the morning, and then you go about living your life any way you want to. He's looking for you to realize, wow, he's good. He sent his son to die for me. I want to follow that God. You turn from your sins and you put your trust in his son fully and completely, and then all of your sins will be forgiven and your guilty conscience will be cleansed, and you'll know that you are his child. So if that hasn't happened to you yet, make sure that you examine yourself. See if you are in the truth. Make your calling and election sure. Don't die in your sins. Don't die with some form of religion, but without having a relationship with your Savior. Am I making sense to you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because that's what Christianity is about. It's not just about formal prayers. It's about actually knowing the living God, your Creator and Maker, who will judge you in righteousness and send you to hell, or who will forgive you this day if you will call out to him and put your trust in his son. All right? So, I'm not your judge. I'm walking away. Examine yourself. And, dude, if you aren't saved, if you aren't born again, remember, this is an offer of kindness. Jesus died for you, a sinner. Call out to him. turn from your sins. It doesn't mean you become perfect, but you've got a new attitude about your sins. You don't want him anymore. You want him instead. And he says, then I'll save you. Until then, you're an enemy of God. But he will make you a friend because of what Jesus did on your behalf. Do you have a Bible?
Yeah.
Okay. Open it up and see if what I'm telling you is true. Because it doesn't matter what I say. What matters is what does the Bible say, and is it true? So crack open that Bible and start reading the book of Romans. Can you remember that?
Yeah.
All right. Read the book of Romans, and you're going to realize, wow, God's actually got a plan to save me. He's got a way to forgive me. He's a good God. He's a saving God. I'm a bad man, and he's a good God. And he will make me his child. That's a good deal. Read the book of Romans. All right?
Okay.
All right. All right. Hey, I'm glad we bumped into each other.
All right, man.
Goodbye. All right. See you. Fellow had the most quizzical look I've ever seen. Same thing goes for you. Read the book of Romans. Repent. Trust his son. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.